Absolutely. And so when did you first start playing FPL?
I think it was three, four years ago. And ever since then, I almost fell in love with the game. I've been playing consistently, building it up, and this season I really think is the year for me to push on and do really well.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. And thank you once again for joining us with FPL Apprentices for Season 3, Episode 6. Now, you might notice today it's not Tom doing his usual comical introduction. It's me. And that is because after an absolutely abysmal couple of weeks from FPL, the FPL Apprentices podcast has decided to release Tom from all further services, which means that I am here today with an up-and-coming FPL manager with his first FPL Apprentices appearance. It's Robbie. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. So, can you give us a rundown of how your season has gone so far and when you first got introduced to FPL when you first started playing?
Yeah, my season so far, it was going great. I was getting mid-60s to 70s, but this game week, this previous game week just gone, I got 49 points and I slipped down the rankings to 1.25 mil overall in the FPL world. And the main reason that is just because I didn't have Haaland in. I thought rotation risk with a midweek game, it was not worth putting him in, and that proved too costly for me.
Absolutely. And so when did you first start playing FPL?
I think it was four. 3, 4 years ago. And ever since then, I almost fell in love with the game. I've been playing consistently, building it up, and this season I really think is the year for me to push on and do really well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in previous seasons, I think your rank has been slightly lower than where you would have liked it to be, in the millions. But this year, you've started really fast and you're looking really good at the moment. Top 300K before the start of this game week. So, very impressed. And we're pleased to have you on FPL Apprentices. Now, just a quick note, Tom hasn't been released from FPL Apprentices, but he was in hospital overnight very recently. He should be back next week and we're hopefully going to the Spurs Fulham game together on the weekend, but we wish him a speedy recovery. But to start off this episode, after that little introduction, I'm just going to go through the FPL Apprentice scores for the last couple of weeks. So the last time that we recorded was last Thursday before game week 4. It is now Thursday, the 1st of September, and we're recording just before the Leicester Man United game. Now, on the FPL Apprentice team, we've had a good couple of weeks. We've moved from 3.8 mil to about 2 mil, so a good couple of weeks there. However, very, very mixed fortunes across all our accounts. Tom getting 49 points, very poor couple of weeks, and he's dropped down significantly and he's not best pleased with that. Same for me. I mean, a decent week in game week 4, captaining Kane away at Newcastle, away at Nottingham Forest, and got robbed of a 17 pointer as Kane misses his first penalty in 22 games, but never mind that. And then getting punished by not having Haaland this week, to which there is a decent explanation. I'm sure I'll get onto it during this episode at some point. But yeah, very disappointing week for me this week. Brought out Salah for KDB and captain KDB for a one pointer. So that was very disappointing. I'm sitting at around 5 mil, the joint team 2 mil, and Tom 4 point something mil, I believe. So that's a quick roundup of how we've done in the last few weeks. But we're going to get into the review of game week 5. Now, as there's been two lots of game weeks, it will be too long an episode to go through both game week 4 and 5. So we're going to go through the main talking points from game week 4 quite briefly and then focus in on game week 5 before the preview later in this episode. So, Robbie, I think the main talking point in game week 4 was Liverpool 9-0 and Salah not getting a return. Did you have Salah captained in your own team?
Of course I did, of course. Number one rule of FPL, captain Salah every game week.
Yeah, well, disappointing that he didn't return. I think lots of people were very shocked. I mentioned on the podcast before this game week where Liverpool played Bournemouth that I thought it would be a scrappy game, 2-0, 2-1 Liverpool, and how wrong was I? Scott Parker getting the sacking, thoughts on that? Was that the right decision from Bournemouth, Robbie?
I mean, in terms of results, it was harsh, but I think there was more reason behind it with him blaming the players in the pre-match, the post-match interview, and also him complaining about a lack of transfers. I thought it was quite harsh done by. But, yeah, Bournemouth, we'll see how they do this year.
Yeah. Erling Haaland getting the hat-trick at home to Palace. Now, I really didn't expect the game to pan out like that in the second half. I predicted it to be a very tight game between City and Palace. And that is why I transferred out Haaland. Well, part of the reason why I transferred out Haaland for Kane. I really thought City would struggle, and they did really, really struggle. 2-0 down at half-time. And then this momentum, this mentality that they've got of making comebacks, as seen by them winning the title in the last game of the season last year, is really starting to become quite a consistent thing. But yeah, Haaland getting the hat-trick. Did you expect that one coming at home to Palace, Robin?
No, if I'm honest, City often struggle against Palace. I really like the way Palace have played this year, obviously beating Villa 3-1 and drawing to Liverpool. I thought they might even get a shock result, a draw or something. I thought Zaha might kick on. Zaha didn't even play, I don't think. And Haaland just in that second half was unplayable.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was unplayable again for Nottingham Forest in midweek. Now, as mentioned earlier, I do want to focus our conversation on Game Week 5 just gone, apart from the Leicester United game. So I think the only other thing I really want to mention for me is Nottingham Forest versus Spurs. Now, I'll get more onto Forest when we discuss Forest versus City, but I thought Spurs, although they probably didn't play their best, especially in the first half, Kane being clinical and, you know, they don't need too many chances. I thought Forest were very open, very, very open on the counter attack. And had it not been for an out of form Son, could have been 4-5-0 to Spurs. What did you make of Kane missing his first penalty in 21 attempts, Robbie? Henderson making his second penalty save of the season.
I mean, it's a complete shocker. I would not have even expected that. But Henderson is quite a good keeper. He's proven that, and maybe he will be United's number one in a couple of years or even next season. But it's a big penalty save, and it's awful for Kane. Who would have expected that?
Yeah, I mean, he loves that bottom left corner, doesn't he? But it hasn't paid off in that game. But yeah, Henderson's record at saving penalties is extraordinary. I think it's 7 in 12, possibly, something like that. He saves a lot of pens, already 2 this season, as mentioned. So that's very impressive. But now I would like to move us on into the Game Week 5 review. Now, a very disappointing game week for me and Tom. And I think the main talking point has to be Haaland here. I personally have a very similar team to people getting 80, 90 points. The two differences for me, De Bruyne and Kane. For other people, Salah and Haaland. We're going to get on to the City Forest game in a bit, but we're going to start with the first game on the Tuesday night. Crystal Palace versus Brentford. What did you make of the game, Robbie?
Again, I like Palace this year. I thought Palace were very good, but Brentford got the goal in the last minute, so get the draw. And Zaha said in his post-match interview, you know, he wasn't happy the way they switched off and conceded, and it's a silly result. But that's football, so I think Palace, some players in FPL could be really good for you this year, because I think Palace could get top 10 quite comfortably this year.
Yeah. See, I think I mentioned Palace on last week's pod, and I said Zaha looks like a very decent option, but I wouldn't go near the strikers because Mateta and Edouard seem to rotate heavily. Is there any other options that you see in that Palace team, maybe defensively as well, that we could be looking to invest in the fairly near future? Because after, their fixtures up until the World Cup are pretty good, and I think they're a fairly consistent team as well. So what do you make of Palace FPL wise? Who's got the most potential for points and value for money in that Palace team?
Yeah, well, I think Eberechi Eze could be quite a good option. I actually had him at the start of the year. I think he's got quite a few points this year. He got the assist against Liverpool. But in terms of defence, they often play five at the back. So I think they have Klein at right wing back. And I think it might be Mitchell at left wing back. So those often can bomb up the pitch a bit to get some points. So one of the fullbacks or wing backs and Eberechi Eze would be the players I'm looking at from Palace for FPL.
Yeah, interesting. Certainly offensively, those two look good. I mentioned Eze a couple of weeks ago as well. He looked really good in the Villa at home match, but I'm not convinced from an FPL perspective he's the man yet. He needs to prove it to me a bit more. Two assists so far this season, and he's started in every single game. So I need to be proven a bit more on this guy, but he looks like certainly a quality player. And on the five at the back, I think Palace set with five at the back generally against the tougher teams or the fixtures that you'd expect to be harder. I think Arsenal at home, they were four at the back. Liverpool away, five at the back. Villa at home, four at the back. City away, five at the back. And I think Brentford at home, this game week, they were four at the back again. I might be wrong there. But it seems like they're adapting their structure based on the fixture. But it does mean that any team they come up against, you know, they've got a plan. They're ready to take on the fixture. Now, defensively, how many clean sheets have Palace kept this season? Zero. You know, does that surprise you, Robbie? Zero clean sheets for Palace, because I thought they might be investable defensively, but zero clean sheets is a bit concerning.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially since Guehi and Anderson are very good centre-backs. I mean, very good Premier League level centre-backs. I thought they might have kept clean sheets, but if you look at the fixtures playing Arsenal, Liverpool and City, who at the start of the season is most people's top three finishers for the Premier League. So it's not been an easy run of fixtures. And I mean, conceding goals against Villa and Brentford, it will happen. But I think they'll pick up a run of form and they'll get some clean sheets on the way.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. It's a very good point. They've had tough fixtures to start the season. Villa at home, I seem to remember it was Watkins scoring an early goal, and in the Brentford game, a very late goal conceded. So I feel like at home especially, they're going to offer defensive points. But I don't really see a standout fullback that's going to bring home assists. Or I'm not convinced that any of the options have much attacking threat. But certainly defensively at points this season, I think in the home games, Palace will offer decent value. What do you think, Robbie?
Yeah, I agree. The defenders might not offer a ton of attacking threat, but I think defensively, Palace will become very solid and adapting their formation against different teams. Then the bigger size going more defensive. I think defensively, some of them like Anderson or Guehi who might nick a goal from a corner could be a shout.
Yeah, of course, because Anderson scored against City in that game. I think Guehi scored last season, looked quite threatening. I just want a word on Zaha. He scored four goals in the four games that he started this season. Very impressive returns, and he's returning well in the fixtures that you'd hope him to return a bit more in. I mean, the Liverpool away game, you probably think that's quite a good fixture for a speedy attacker like Zaha. We saw how Rashford scored in the United Liverpool game, but Villa at home and Brentford at home, games that you'd want him to return in, he's returned in, which is good from an FPL perspective. You want someone that's going to return in games that you kind of expect them more to return. And he's got pretty good home games up until the World Cup. United, Chelsea, Leeds, Wolves, Southampton. So I think there's a chance that you might want to invest in him before the World Cup. Absolutely. But keep an eye on Palace. They look like a very strong outfit this season.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Zaha, right now he's fairly cheap at 7 point something million, I think 7.2. 7.1. You know, if you have Rodrigo and a bit of money to spare, maybe upgrade Rodrigo, who's injured, for Zaha, who's going to perform probably quite well up until the run of the World Cup. And I'm not too sure if Ivory Coast are in the World Cup or not, if he has a break then, but I think up until the World Cup, definitely, he'll get some good returns.
Yeah, Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And then moving on to Brentford, I think the main talking point for Brentford is Ivan Toney. He started the season really well. 2 goals and 2 assists in his first 3 games. He scored a great offside goal against Fulham when I was there at the game, and he looks like a really class player in that game too. In the last two matches, Everton at home and Palace away, no goals, 2 points and 1 point, because he does seem to pick up yellow cards. Now, it's only his first yellow card of the season away at Palace, but I remember that being quite a recurring theme for him last season. Brentford's fixtures looking decent: Leeds, Southampton, Arsenal, Bournemouth, Newcastle in the next five. So I think he's probably at hold, but I'm not convinced by Tony. I've never really been totally convinced by him as an FPL option. What would you recommend people doing with him if they have him in their team, Robbie? And would you recommend people buying or selling him?
I mean, it's incredibly tough. I think before this game week, I would have thought, yeah, keep him. But then if you also look at the options for similar value at striker, you got Mitrovic and Isak, who's just moved to Newcastle. And I think both of those will get similar returns to Tony. So you just got to look at who's got better fixtures out of those three and pick one of those if you want a 7 mil around that price striker.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Mitrovic is very heavily involved in Fulham's goal scoring. He broke the championship record last year, and he just seems to, when Fulham score a couple in the game, Mitrovic is probably scoring at least one of them. And with Tony, we saw he didn't score against United, only got one in the two against Fulham, no goals in 2 goals across the Everton and Palace games. So he's not necessarily always involved in the goal scoring, but Mitrovic is much more heavily involved in. Fulham at home, as we'll get onto later, are a strong outfit to contend with. So I think for me, even though Tony has been getting a few big chances, I'm not convinced. I'd keep him for the Leeds game. If he doesn't perform then, it's concerning times. I'd strongly consider getting him out. But yeah, apart from Tony, defensively, Robbie, what do you make of Brentford so far this season? They've kept one clean sheet at home to United. Pretty decent defensive fixtures up until the World Cup. What would you recommend to people if they've got a Brentford defender in their team?
Well, if I'm honest, I don't know an awful lot about the Brentford defence, but I know Raya as a goalkeeper, the Brentford goalkeeper. I think he's quite good, and if you're gonna go with one of them, I think Raya's the way to go. I think for goalkeepers, it's Raya, Sanchez, or Ramsdale you go for. So if you want a Brentford defender to get you those points for clean sheets, I think you go with Raya, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I agree. I think that defensively, we've seen a lot of people go big at the back this year with Chelsea, City, Liverpool defenders, and there hasn't really been much space for a 4.5 mil defender like Brentford options offer. But Raya in goal, I certainly think is a good option. Now, he's only kept one clean sheet this season. However, he still picked up some decent returns: 2-7-3-6-3 in his opening 5 games. But most interestingly, I'd say, is in every single game so far, Robbie, he has picked up at least 3 saves. And on 2 occasions, he's picked up 6 saves. Now, one of the things concerning Ramsdale owners at the moment is not only are Arsenal conceding one goal seemingly every game, he seems to not be making many saves, no more than two or three each game. But Raya, on the other hand, is getting a lot of save points. So I think people should consider that in their goalkeeping transfers, maybe on the wild card coming up soon. Because Ramsdale certainly doesn't look like he's making many saves, but Raya, on the other hand, a completely different story. I want to ask you, Robbie, when it comes to goalkeepers, what do you mainly look for? Do you look for someone who's likely to keep a clean sheet, like maybe a Sanchez, or do you look for someone who's going to make a lot of saves with slightly less chance of a clean sheet, but obviously will rack up the save points?
Well, for me, I don't really go for the big six or the big goalkeepers who play for the big teams. They're often a bit expensive. I'd rather save my money for midfielders, attackers, defenders in other areas. And often I think Sanchez from Brighton or Raya from Brentford will do the job. They'll get a couple saves and they'll pick up, around 8 or 9 clean sheets over the course of the season. So they'll do for me.
That very reasonable, very reasonable. Okay, well, I think that closes our discussion for Palace versus Brentford, which moves us on to next game, Fulham versus Brighton. Now, A very interesting game. I was at this one. The first half flew by. I mean, I don't know how it flew by because there wasn't a great deal of chances at all. But Mitrovic again gets another goal. He scored in each of his last three games. He missed the penalty in game week two. So had he put that away, he would have scored in each of the five opening fixtures of the season. He looks really, really good this season. And Fulham seemed to be creating him a decent amount of chances, which wasn't the case in previous years. I think this man's the real deal this season at 6.7, a much better alternative compared to Tony, in my opinion. Did you get to watch any of this game, Robbie?
I didn't watch a lot of it, but from what I know about Fulham, especially last season in the Championship, they seem to have based their whole identity and the way they play around Mitrovic, which means Mitrovic, if they are to score a couple goals, he's definitely going to get some points. And so far this season, they've been playing quite well and getting goals. And that means Mitrovic is getting the points he want. And as you said, 6.7 million. Why not?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a time for Mitrovic this season. Spurs away, probably not the time to invest, but on a wild card, if you're looking at wild card and in the international break, or even looking to bring him in for game week seven, he has a very nice run of fixtures. Now, Fulham at home this season have taken 7 points from nine, playing up against Liverpool, Brentford, and Brighton. So some pretty tough fixtures there. But two wins and a draw is very, very good. Mitrovic scoring four goals in that time as well. So he looks great at home. And with the atmosphere at Craven Cottage, I think it helps spur the players on and gives them that extra edge to perform well. So from game week seven, Chelsea at home, Forest away, Newcastle at home, West Ham away, Bournemouth at home, Villa at home, Leeds away, Everton at home. I think that's a superb fixture run. And in my opinion, he's very, very investable starting from game week seven. What do you think, Robbie?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the question is, do you want three strikers? Because it seems everybody has Jesus and Haaland right now. Both have 65% ownership or something. So do you go for the three strikers and get Mitrovic or Tony in? That's what you gotta ask yourself, really.
It's an interesting question. I think Haaland, even with his minutes likely to get managed, we see how deadly he is, and it only takes him one chance and he gets a goal. His movement looks absolutely brilliant as well. So I think Haaland, for most people, will be a set in their team for most of the season. And then that leaves you with two other spots. And most people started the season. I'm guessing you did as well, Robbie, with a 4.5 million striker.
Yeah, I did. I went for Jesus and Kane, but I was tossing up between Kane or Haaland, and I went for Kane in the end. But yeah, I went for two strikers really with 4.5 mil striker on my bench. But now I am looking at the possibility of playing a wild card and getting three strikers in.
Absolutely. I mean, we can talk about the best time to wild card soon, but I think three strikers is definitely a setup that more people start to employ soon. I look at Jesus and I think after game week 7-8, because he promises so much. The Leicester game was an example of his potential. Bournemouth, he should have got more. He seems to get quite a lot of chances, but he's not converting all of them as you might want at the moment. 80% owned is very risky to take him out. After game week seven, plays Brentford away, Robbie, Spurs at home, Liverpool at home, Leeds away, City at home. That's a very tough run of five games, and I would be content in switching him to a cheap option like Mitrovic for a better fixture run. Now, I'd be completely taking account of the risk involved because of his high ownership. But I think the fact that he has such high ownership means there's big points to gain there if you go against the crowd. So, what do you think the time to get off Jesus could be soon, or do you think it's a no-go to get rid of him?
Oh, it's so tough with the high percentage ownerships. And normally I'll just be a sheep and follow the crowd and stick with the high percentage ownerships. But I really think the strikers is a tough decision because, you know, maybe you do want Tony or Mitrovic who will get you. And I do want to mention him. I think Isak will do well. He got a goal against Liverpool yesterday. Could have had two yesterday. So I think Isak could potentially perform incredibly well and get some points. So Jesus will be a difficult one, and I think we could potentially see quite a lot of FPL managers transferring him out at some point.
I totally agree with you. I think the time to do that might be around game week 8, game week 9, as the fixtures start to get tougher before the World Cup. for everyone when they transfer him out, you should take care or take account of his high ownership, because that is a huge risk. If you're not fully confident on it, then it's a huge risk that's probably not worth taking. I myself am probably looking to take him out on the wild card in game week 9. But yeah, I think three strikers is definitely a potential in the future, with the likes of Isaac, maybe Callum Wilson, Mitrovic, Haaland, Kane even. You know, there's a lot of striking options emerging now with good fixtures. So I think the time for three strikers is soon. But yeah, going back to the Fulham-Brighton game, Andreas Pereira getting an assist. I mean, Fulham, when they have possession of the ball and they're building up the game slowly, yeah, they'll look for Mitrovic in the box with crosses. However, I've been impressed with Fulham on the counter-attack. They did it very well against Brentford, did it for the second goal against Brighton here. And Andreas Pereira is normally leading those counter-attacks, which means I think he's a great option, that 4.5 mil. You've got to have him, in my opinion. You've got to have him as a fifth midfielder. In home games, he looks decent. In the easier fixtures, I think you've got to play him. I think he's a really good option on corners and set pieces. He had a free kick, which forced a great save from David Raya in the Brentford game. So I think Andreas, you've got to hold on to him, in my opinion. Thoughts on that, Robbie, before I get into Brighton?
Yeah, I think Andreas is very solid. You know, 4.5 mil, he can be on your bench and come off if someone doesn't play, or maybe even if they do have an easy fixture, he could even find his way into the starting lineup for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then from a Brighton perspective, I wouldn't be swayed by McAllister again. Two goals in his last three games and two double-digit returns for that as well. They've both been penalties. He plays as more defensive player. I was mainly very impressed with Pascal Ross, just mainly because of his positioning. He's started as a centre forward pretty much. Once Welbeck came on, he dropped a bit deeper. However, I expect him to be very advanced, and I think for the next three fixtures, Leicester, Bournemouth, and Palace, he's a good little punt. I like him a lot. And then Estupiñán, I mentioned him on the Instagram. I said, look out for Estupiñán this week. He got an assist for a pretty controversial penalty, Brighton, but he does get quite advanced at times. And there's certainly potential for attack and returns, probably the most out of all the Brighton defenders. So if you're not going to invest in him for the next three fixtures, there'll be a time for him later in the season, I think. I like the look of him. But Brighton defensively looked pretty solid. Their XG conceded in this game was under one. So to concede two goals was probably quite unfortunate. But they look solid. Don't be too disappointed with the two goals conceded. They kept three clean sheets in the last three before that. And I can expect a couple more in the next few games. So stand firm with Brighton defence. I don't see any issue there at all. Just wasn't a good day at the office for them. But yeah, they controlled the game very, very well, I thought, for large periods, especially in the first half. Just didn't have that end product, which has been a recurring theme in previous seasons. But very impressed with Brighton, and Fulham at home are a force to contend with. So that's my kind of review on the game, Robbie. Is there anything you want to mention from an FPL perspective looking at Brighton?
Yeah, well, I think I saw a stat about Gross. He's covered the most distance out of any player in the Premier League so far per match. So he's covering a lot of ground. He's running a lot. He's working hard, and he's getting, you know, the hauls you want. 5.8 million. You know, I think if you didn't have Rodrigo, well, you want to transfer him in out now. He has the injury. I think Gross is your best option. He's 0.5 million cheaper, and I'd go for him. I think Brighton seems solid defensively, but if they're going to have an attack in return, it seems to be Gross who's getting it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he's the pick of the bunch from that Brighton team for the next three pretty good-looking fixtures. Okay, well, you mentioned Rodrigo, Robbie. I think we can move on to the Leeds-Everton game now. Now, you said he was out. He looks like he's out for a month up until October the 2nd, which is after the international break, which means he misses Brentford, Forest and United. So he misses the next three. I think he's definitely a transfer out this week. Who would you take him out to in that kind of price bracket? If you're looking, let's say short term, let's say for the next 3 to 5 game weeks, who would be your Rodrigo replacement, Robbie?
Well, I mentioned Gross, I think, for Leeds. Sinisterra could potentially be his teammate. I think Sinisterra, he performed well against Everton. He got some good points returned there. But someone else for Brighton I forgot to mention is actually Trossard. He's been performing fairly well this season. I don't think he got a return against Fulham, but in previous game weeks, he's been playing fairly well. A similar price tag to Rodrigo, and he often, in the Brighton system, he's playing almost a free roam kind of position where he's allowed to roam about the park and focus on attacking threats. So I think Trossard could be quite a good alternative to Rodrigo.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was looking at bringing in Trossard for the Fulham game, ended up not doing it. Had I had the money for him, that I would have transferred in Haaland and Trossard last week. Things didn't work out that way for me in the end. But I do like the look of Trossard. He was a bit wide in this game against Fulham. But in previous games, he has been quite narrow and getting chances, especially the West Ham game. He was very narrow in the pitch. But I think Gross is the main man that roams around and gets the main chances. So I think he's your man over Trossard. But if you've already got Gross, I think you should also look at the Nottingham Forest midfielders. Now, a poor performance and a 6-0 loss to City. However, the next three fixtures, Bournemouth, Leeds and Fulham. I don't think that Fulham game's great, but with Forest at home, you can expect maybe a goal. And I certainly think the Bournemouth game, there's goals to be had there. So I like the look of Gibbs-White. He seems to be quite involved. He just seems to be first choice. And Brennan Johnson up front as well, obviously not a Rodrigo replacement, but keep it, you know, if you want a cheap punt, I think the Nottingham Forest midfielders, specifically Gibbs-White, is a decent shout. Yates as well seems to be arriving late in the box and getting a lot of chances. No returns so far this season, but he does look decent if you want a very cheap punt. But I'd focus on Gibbs-White or Brennan Johnson for Nottingham Forest. Yeah, Roy, what did you make of the Leeds-Everton game? You touched upon Sinisterra getting his first goal for Leeds in the Premier League after his first start. Played 63 minutes and managed to rack up 3 bonus points. Is he an option this season?
Yeah, obviously transferred in from Feyenoord for Leeds. I saw him play in the Conference League for Feyenoord and he seemed a bright spark. He's quite quick down the wing. And I think he could be a good addition to Leeds. I like the way Leeds have set up and played under Jesse Marsh. So I think Leeds could perform quite well this season. And I think Sinisterra could be a good option. With Rodrigo out, they may look to him a bit more to try and get some goals and assists.
Yeah, I think the question is when, if ever, do you invest? Because I'd probably monitor Sinisterra. He looks good. I think he's playing at right wing instead of Dan James. And scored a very nice goal, I thought, against Everton. Now, Brentford away is a good chance to monitor and see his positioning and his threat and that kind of thing. And he plays Nottingham Forest at home before United and Villa at home, which is a decent little trio of fixtures. But after that, I mean, the fixtures are pretty topsy-turvy for Leeds. I don't see a clear good run for them. So I would probably avoid investing in any Leeds assets just because there's not much consistency. And in the fixtures, unless you are looking at playing someone every now and again and rotating them. But Leeds, a bit of a no-go for me. Would you agree, Robbie?
Yeah, I'd agree. I do think Leeds are quite well. They obviously beat Chelsea 3-0, which was a bit of a shocker, but showed they can play very well as a unit and as a team and get some goals. And they kept in a clean sheet there. So, but with the inconsistent fixtures, I'd agree. I wouldn't go for many Leeds players. Transfer out Rodrigo, find your replacement, and that's all for Leeds.
Agree with you. Yeah. Okay, nice. And from an Everton perspective, Gordon getting his second goal in the last 2 games. He seems to be leading the line now. Calvert-Lewin should be back. I mean, it might be after the international break. I'm not sure exactly when. But that might change Gordon's positioning. But for now, Gordon's positioning seems to be very upfront and quite direct. Remember in the Villa game, when Everton played away at Villa, he got a lot of chances in the last couple of minutes of that game. But he seems to be racking up the chances and getting a couple goals in the last few games. Fixtures don't look amazing at all, though, for Everton. Liverpool, Arsenal, West Ham, Southampton, United, Spurs. So I'd say a strong avoid for Everton until later on in the season. Is there anything you'd like to comment on this game from an Everton perspective, Robbie?
Yeah, I'd just like to speak a bit about Gordon. He incredibly impressed me, really, because last season I thought, yeah, he's good, he's a bit of a bright spark, but I didn't really think he had that end product. He hadn't really scored many goals. I think he had 4 professional goals so far heading into this season, but he's already got a couple good goals, so he could be a shout when they get a clear run of fixtures against teams they can perform against. But right now, I think you avoid any Everton players.
Nice. Okay, and rounding up the Tuesday games is Southampton versus Chelsea. Southampton coming away with a comeback victory. I think from an FPL perspective, what can we take from this game? Well, Saints at home seem to be strengthening after a very bad first game of the season and a dodgy first half against Leeds in the second game. They seem to be turning their season around a little bit. Fixtures look pretty good coming up. Wolves, Brentford, Villa, Everton, for City and West Ham. Not bad fixtures. I think Southampton are showing promise. Defensively, I would never really back them for a clean sheet. Then they don't strike me as that kind of team. Offensively, Shadham seems to be playing well at the moment. Another option in that kind of 6.57 million bracket up front. But I feel like with Southampton, you don't want to have one of their players starting week in, week out. They don't strike me as too consistent. Or too explosive either. But some decent options there if you're going to rotate, I'd probably avoid for now. But an impressive win at home to Chelsea, Robin.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really go for any Southampton players. Attacking-wise, there's no real standouts for me. But in terms of defence, I think Bella Kotchap, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but he really impressed me. And Salisu's good. And the goalkeeper, Bazunu, they never really look like they'll keep a clean sheet, but maybe if those three can really gel, they could potentially start picking up clean sheets, because Salisu and Kotchap seem a very strong centre-back partnership. So it could be something to look at in the future.
Yeah, I agree. I think there could be a chance there for more clean sheets, because I think Bella Kotchap has started the season well. I mean, he was pretty much an unknown coming into the season. I'd never heard of him. But he started the season with some strong performances. I think Kyle Walker-Peters plays quite advanced, got a goal at home to Leeds in game week 2. I think he's probably the pick of the bunch from Southampton's perspective. Roman Peraud got an assist in this one. I'm not convinced he gets the minutes that Walker-Peters does. I think generally, defensively, Walker-Peters, there might be a time for him, but it's not a time to invest in Southampton. There's better options right now, in my opinion. Chelsea losing in pretty disappointing fashion as well. They could have conceded 3 or 4. The only probably bright thing to take from this game was Sterling scoring again. That's 3 goals in his last 2 games. Now, some not too bad fixtures for Chelsea coming up. West Ham, Fulham, Liverpool, Palace and Wolves. What do you think about Sterling at 10 million, Robbie? I mean, he seems like a half-decent pick with some decent returns in the last couple of games.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting for me. When I watched the game, I didn't think he overly impressed me. However, if you're getting the returns in terms of FPL, it doesn't matter how you play. If you get the returns, you get the points, you put them in your team. But 10 million is pricey for me. If I compared Zaha to Sterling, I'd rather Zaha at 7.1 million compared to Sterling at 10 million and save, you know, 3 million there to invest somewhere else. But that's just the way I think about it.
Yeah, I think you've got to ask whether he's worth the 10 mil. Does his points return warrant a 10 mil investment? For me, probably not. Like you said, Robbie, I think there's cheaper options that can be just as explosive. I think Chelsea have just bought Aubameyang, or they're about to finalise that deal, which could be very interesting. I think it will help Chelsea start scoring more goals, because I feel like they're lacking that pronounced striker up top. Havertz isn't really doing the business at the start of the season. So I think that will benefit Chelsea, and I think there'll certainly be a time to invest. I think they'll sort out their issues at the moment and be a good force to contend with. But for the next 3 games, I'd certainly look to play Reece James this weekend and Cucurella against West Ham at home. After that, Fulham away and Liverpool home is a bit concerning. I can certainly see goals conceded in both of those games. But for this week, play all your Chelsea assets, because West Ham at home is a decent game. What would you recommend owners do with Mount? Because quite a few people start with him. Very disappointing for 4 game weeks. Picks up an assist in this one. Would you hold him now, Robbie, or would you get rid?
I'd get rid if I'm honest. I'm looking at my midfield. I think there's about 5 6 really good midfielders that you want in, and that is probably Martinelli looks better. I think more expensive Salah, but Zaha looks better. You're looking at Gross, Rodrigo before the injury, Trossard and Sinisterra, I'd probably prefer to Mount. So I'd avoid Mount if I'm honest. I've never been completely convinced about Mount, and I'm not too sure about that Chelsea attack because they just sign so many defenders and often play so defensive. So I don't think attacking-wise they get enough of points returns for me to put any Chelsea attackers in.
Yeah, I think that's a fair enough comment. I'm not looking to... I'd probably say keep Mount for this West Ham game. And after that, I'd probably be off him. We need to see Chelsea turn it around a bit, certainly before we look at investing. But there will be a time for Chelsea, I'm sure of that. That rounds up the Tuesday games, though, Robin. Unless there's any other comment you'd like to make on any of them?
No, that's all good for me. I'm happy.
Okay. So, moving on to the Wednesday games, and this is where the game equals won or lost for some. We'll start with Arsenal versus Villa. Now, you're a Villa fan, Robbie. What did you make of this game and of the Villa? What do you make of the Villa situation right now with Gerrard and not getting results?
Oh, it's incredibly poor. It's almost embarrassing and humiliating when we look at it. It's just so disappointing. We lack identity and structure. And when you look at it, yeah, we got the goal. But if you see the goal, it was from a direct corner from Douglas Luiz. And that appears the only way we've been scoring recently. We've obviously did that against Bolton in the cup. But it's just confusing why we're relying on scoring directly from a corner to be our only method of goals. Because in the first half, I saw a stat where 5 Arsenal players had higher expected goals than the whole Villa team. And that just shows we're not creating any chances. We're putting our defence under pressure. And until Gerrard goes, and depending on who we get as a manager in the future, if Gerrard goes, that is only the time when I'd put Villa players in. I know you may think, oh, you've got Southampton and Leicester coming up in recent weeks. I think we'll get battered by City, and you have to see if Gerrard stays before you put any Villa players in, to be honest.
Yeah, so do you think if Gerrard stays, it's a bit of a no-go for Villa, but if a new manager comes in, keep a close eye on him, probably invest?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I would love if we could get a Pochettino in, but that is probably unrealistic. So you just have to see who the manager Villa can try to get in. But if it's Gerrard, I've never been convinced by Gerrard. He has a lower win percentage than Gary Neville at Valencia. He's been here 10 months or so. There's no structure or identity. And I criticise him as a manager quite often. So in terms of FPL assets, Villa's best is probably Watkins, who's got a couple assists, but that's about it. And there's far better strikers than Watkins to go for.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Villa aren't investable at all. And it's a shame, really, because the fixtures after City, Leicester, Southampton, Leeds, Forest, Chelsea, Fulham, Brentford, it's a nice little run, but there's no reason to bring one of them in and take a punt on them unless they're really showing consistent performances and good form. It's a shame. I learned that lesson at the start of the season where I took a punt on Triple Villa for 2 great fixtures, Bournemouth away and Everton at home, and it punished me severely. I probably lost in total, I'd say, 40 points from that just for 2 game weeks. So very disappointing there for me. But I think from what I've learned from that experience is that taking these risky punts can backfire severely when you go against the template. So I wouldn't go for Villa unless you're absolutely certain and you've got stats and eye test to back up your decision to bring them in for game 7 or 8.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's just so difficult with Villa. We're at the point where we're around a mid-table club, and mid-table clubs are so inconsistent, really. And I think we will be inconsistent, or if we are consistent, we'll be consistently bad and we won't be getting any points in our players. I mean, there's also a lot of rotation risk. I don't think Bailey will be getting game time. I know quite a few people had him at the start of the year. I don't think Bailey gets a lot of game time, or Watkins' rotation risk with Ings and maybe even Bailey up top. So it's difficult to say with any Villa players if you get them in.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. From an Arsenal perspective, Main things to take care. I mean, Martin Elliott is cheap price. He's probably been one of the standout performers of the season. 8 points, 8.6, 2, 10. Very consistent. He's certainly a keep for me. I'd probably play him even away at United because I think this week a dilemma that a lot of people might face is Nico Williams on the bench. And I really think you've got to play Williams at home to Bournemouth. Bournemouth don't score many goals at all. They haven't scored since game week one. And Forest at home are pretty decent. I'd say against the top teams, they're going to struggle, but against the lower teams, their pressure is going to tell. And I think they'll score a couple goals. And Williams' XG and expected assists as well is pretty decent, especially for a 4 million defender. So I think there's very good reason to play Williams this week, which means that one of your starting 11 probably has to get sacrificed. But do you think Martinelli is a player that you sacrifice away at United, which seems like a fairly tough fixture, Roy?
I'm not too sure. I mean, his goal for the second Arsenal goal is a ball in the box and he just finds himself in the area to get the goal. So I think he is a player who can just pop up with a goal quite unexpectedly. And I think maybe keep him in the starting lineup. But if you have players that you think are going to perform way better than him, like if you really, really trust Nico Williams, I'd put him ahead. But for me, I'd prefer to look at different options on the bench to get Nico Williams starting rather than dropping Martinelli.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think his consistency at the start of the season means it would be very risky not to play him against United because I think Arsenal will score against United and Martinelli on the counter-attack is going to be something to contend with. So, yeah, I think Martinelli, good performance from him. Saka, I thought, missed the sitter. But in terms of FPL, he started the season very slowly, quite defensive because of Arsenal's setup with Zinchenko moving quite advanced. But last couple of games, he's been getting more chances. Hasn't taken them as of yet. Now, me and Tom have Saka in our joint team. With United, Everton, and Brentford coming up in the next three, what do you suggest people do with Saka? Is it worth holding on to him?
I wouldn't get him in. I think at this point you should probably already have three Arsenal players in before you get Saka. I think Jesus is better than Saka. Have Jesus up top. Martinelli is probably better than Saka. He's cheaper. And then you probably want an Arsenal defender or keeper because they have kept quite a few clean sheets and they got unlucky conceding to Villa with a corner flying in directly. So I'd rather get a Saliba or Zinchenko in defence, have Martinelli and Jesus, then get a Saka in, to be honest.
If you did have Saka, would you sell him before these next three games?
I think maybe hold on to him. I think he'll probably get a goal and an assist across those three games, and it'll be a decent return. And you may want to look at other areas of your team to improve before you get Saka out to improve him, or to improve it. So who knows?
Yeah, I think it's whether he's a priority transfer out and I think that Everton at home game, Brentford away, decent fixture as well. I think it's reasonable to keep him. But then again, if most people are going to wild card before game week nine, then time to take a punt, a three game week punt is probably now. So if you're back in for if you're really strongly confident on another player, I'd bring him in for Saka.
Yeah, I agree.
Nice. And Arsenal not keeping a clean sheet. I mentioned earlier, Ramsdale not making any saves. Only two in this game. Bit concerning that Arsenal seem to concede one goal or two goals at home every single game. I mean, they haven't kept a clean sheet in their first three home games, which were Leicester, Fulham, and Villa. Quite good. Thoughts on Arsenal defence? Is it time to get off soon when the fixtures turn?
I don't think so. I think against Villa, from what I saw, the Arsenal defence looks very solid, very good defensively, and it was quite a lucky goal from Villa. When do you ever see people scoring directly from a corner? So it's just a well-worked set-piece routine with Luis scoring directly from a corner. I don't think many other teams will be able to do that, and on another day, it might not go in, and that's just a clean sheet to Arsenal. So I would personally keep Arsenal defenders in, but if you really want to get Saka in, I'd sacrifice an Arsenal defender before you sacrifice Jesus or Martinelli.
Yeah, I think that the fixtures do turn quite sour from game week 9 onwards. Spurs, Liverpool, Leeds, and City and Southampton in the 5 game weeks from game week 9. I think you certainly keep for the next few game weeks. But on a wild card, I would suggest getting off Ramsdale. I think the centre backs offer better value, similar or even in the case of Saliba, a cheaper price, and they do rack up more bonus points than Ramsdale does. Gabriel also got goal threats, scored against Fulham, and nearly scored in this game against Villa. So if you want Arsenal defence through that tough run, which I wouldn't suggest anyway, I would go for Gabriel, I think. Anything else to say on that, Robbie?
No, not at all. I agree with you in that aspect.
Okay, nice. So Bournemouth versus Wolves will wrap up the Wednesday games pretty quick. Now, I completely forgot this game was even going on. I have to say, no goals, pretty dull. I mean, I don't see any reason to invest in Bournemouth. And if you had Neto, I haven't seen the highlights yet, but I think he was close to returning at some points, fairly close at least. Disappointing from Neto's start of the season, lost a lot of price value. I've had him in my own team. I'd keep him for the Southampton game, but after that, he either goes or he sits on the bench and loses team value. So, want to get rid of him pretty quick after game week 6, in my opinion. Anything much to say on that game, Robbie?
No, not much to say. Nil nil. I think Bournemouth probably went out that game after sacking their manager, just trying to get any kind of result possible. I think Wolves have also had a fairly poor start to the season. They're down in 18th with 3 points as well, I believe. So there's not many Wolves players I'd go for, and I've transferred Neto out already at this point, and I think there's a better other options in midfield. In comparison to Neto, similar value.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. So moving on to the City game. One, the only interesting thing from a Forest point of view is Nico Williams picking up the most bonus points out of his whole team by quite a considerable amount, which is quite impressive, which is promising signs as well for the Bournemouth game on the weekend. Haaland, the main talking point here, getting a hat trick. He looks very good. He's going to take advantage of any lapses in concentration, any poor performances. Defensively, 9 goals in his first 5 games, and I can see him continuing that. Maybe not that ratio, but he was certainly carrying scoring a lot of goals. He's very, very quick to pounce on and to recognise situations where he needs to make movement. A lot of times you saw for the De Bruyne assist for him in the West Ham game, he sees that De Bruyne is waiting to make that pass, and he instantly makes that run. Into a good space and gets a good chance. He did it against Newcastle. He likes that kind of movement. He's very dangerous. I'm very impressed with his movement for a big man. But hat trick there. He pretty much decided people's fates this week. He's now 73% owned. I think. Is he a must own now, Robbie?
100%. He seems unstoppable, unplayable, an absolute monster up top. Nothing more to say. I'd get him in. It's been a costly error by me picking Kane from the start and not getting him in early. And the only issue I can think about him is rotation risk. And Alvarez also looked fairly good from what I saw of that game. And maybe Alvarez might get a bit of game time when Champions League kicks in and they're pushing to try and win that trophy for the first time in their history, and they'll really need Haaland there firing on all cylinders, getting the goals in the Champions League, which may mean resting him in different games. But I see City playing Villa this weekend. Haaland will score if he plays, even if he comes on for 10, 20 minutes, he'll get a goal. Villa just look horrific at the moment, and I mean, Haaland's unplayable, and so is City.
Do you think Haaland starts in that game? Because there's a lot of debate on it in the FPL community.
I think he may not start, or if he does start, he'll come off at 60th minute. He will not play the whole game, that's for sure, with the Champions League creeping up. So it'll be interesting, but I think even if you're looking incredibly long term, Haaland will be a good option in terms of him not going to the World Cup, having a break there. When other players may be fatigued from the World Cup, he'll be raring, ready to go and hit some goals for City coming back from that. So I think Haaland, if you don't have him now, I'd transfer him in either with rotation risk, because even if he's only playing once every 2 weeks, it's worth it because he'll get the goals anyway.
Yeah, I think they'll manage his minutes a lot, but he's going to start over 50% of games. I'm pretty confident that even with Champions League, and even in fixtures that you might look at and see as tough, Liverpool away, Arsenal away, this man is someone that you want to play. So I'm looking at finding a way to bring him back in. Probably not for this week though, because while I think he starts and he probably starts, there's that risk that he doesn't, and I don't want to bring him in for a one pointer after what happened to De Bruyne. Bringing him in this week. We'll get on to captaincy later because he will feature in that debate. Cancelo getting a goal reward in his the owners that backed him and kept hold of him. He looks set to play pretty much every game. Got subbed off at 60 in the Palace game, 67 in this game. So he looks decent. Tom brought in Gundogan a couple of weeks ago. He was disappointed to see Gundogan play a more defensive role. I'm not convinced on Gundogan anymore, disappointingly. I'm not sure. I don't think you invest in Gundogan with the other options there are, but I think you'll still pick up a few points in the next few weeks. But yeah, I think anything else you want to say on the City game?
No, not really. I think City are a great side you probably want to have in your team. Haaland and the City defender, and potentially De Bruyne or Foden, depends what your team is looking like and how much money you have to spend. But City are the best team in the league for me. And when you have the best team in the league, setting up an unplayable striker like Haaland, who's so clinical, it's only going to end in one thing, and that's goals. So I'd get Haaland in and potentially captain him for the future weeks to come.
Yeah, interesting. I think I'm not convinced on Foden. I wouldn't invest in him only because he plays quite wide and doesn't seem to be getting many goal scoring opportunities. But Triple City, even with fixtures, tough fixtures during the season and with rotation, very, very investable. I'd recommend trying to get hold of three in your team ASAP. That rounds us off for City Forest. Now, moves us on to the penultimate game, West Ham versus Spurs. Now, Tom watched this game. He left me a few comments that he'd like me to mention. He thinks Spurs missed Bentancur in the middle of the pitch. It was quite a disappointing performance, but to get a point is a big result in the end. He thinks there's a decent chance of Son getting dropped for Richarlison. I know quite a few people still own Son, so chance to get off him could be soon. He expects a big performance against Fulham on the weekend, which is, I think, is interesting. Kulusevski got taken off around 70 minutes, and Tom expects him to do well against Fulham. Yeah, West Ham getting a goal. I still don't think there's any interest from an FPL perspective in this West Ham team. Fixtures are pretty decent going forward, but they haven't convinced me yet at all. But for Spurs, even with Europa League coming up, I think they'll rotate quite heavily. Champions League coming up, I think they'll rotate quite heavily. And I think Kane's still a very good option. I think Kane and Haaland up front might be the best double premium option to go for. Fulham, City and Leicester in the next three. How do you think the Spurs assets, especially Kane, Kulusevski and Perisic, will do in the next three game weeks, Roy?
I mean, for me, I think Spurs have been slightly underwhelming with their start. I thought they would have kicked it on and really almost started like Arsenal and have a great record. But the Chelsea-Spurs game, I thought they didn't look great. They didn't look great against Wolves either when they won 1-0. And drawing to West Ham, who haven't had a great start, it's not great either. But I think Kane, despite this mediocre start for Spurs, really, he has been getting the points in. Not as much as Haaland, but if that's the thing. If you're going three strikers, maybe Haaland, Kane, Jesus, and potentially take Salah out of the team to fund that attack, because that attack could pay off incredibly if you do it.
Yeah. Well, on that debate, Robbie, do you think, because we're about to go on to Liverpool versus Newcastle, is it worth selling Salah to fund maybe a De Bruyne or a Kane or a Haaland?
I mean, this is something I have been debating with myself. He looks poor in the United game. He didn't get any return in the Bournemouth-Liverpool game, which was a shock. And he didn't look great in the Newcastle game from what I saw. He did get two assists, though, but it seems he might return, even though he doesn't play well. And it is Mohamed Salah. So he is highly selected, so you could miss out when he does return, if he does return. So it's tough to see.
Yeah, it's a difficult decision. He hasn't got the form that we've seen in previous seasons. He's also playing a more wide role, creating chances, as we saw for Firmino's first goal. Got a very lucky assist in the 98th minute. I think owners who captained him were very fortunate of 10 points, in my opinion. I think Everton away could be a decent game for him, but I'm not convinced at all. I think I think De Bruyne this week is a much better pick away at Villa, who's pretty much guaranteed to start, than Salah. I'll be looking to switch off of Salah. But, you know, if you want to play the numbers and just not take too many risks early in the season, he's 53% owned, so hold on to him. Depends what kind of game plan you've got for the start of the season. But yeah, I think we touched upon Spurs, Kane getting the assist. I mean, it's a decent return away at West Ham for him. He's returned each of his last four games, not as explosive as Haaland, but the next three games, I think he could return some decent points. And Kulusevski, I think he'll be a decent option in the next 3 weeks. I think that Leicester home game especially, I look at that and I see that as a really promising fixture. Now, one thing that Thomas did mention to me is the left wing back position. Perisic played 90 minutes in this game. Look out for team news Tom recommends on Saturday morning before the deadline, before deciding what to do with Perisic, because I think he gets benched for this game. What do you think, Rory?
Yeah, I mean, there is a massive rotation risk with Perisic. He is in his mid-30s, so you cannot expect him to really be playing week in, week out for a Spurs side that the full backs have to work so hard up and down that pitch. So especially when they have Sessegnon, who performed fairly well in the opening couple of games, why risk the fatigue of Perisic when you can just switch to Sessegnon and give Perisic a bit of a break? So I think there is the rotation risk with Perisic, but if he plays, he will probably get a return, I think. So you just have to be wary of the rotation risk. And if you do want to put him on the bench or something and bring him on for future game weeks.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with him. You probably don't want to sell him because he's got that explosive potential. So if he plays in any game, he can go big, as we saw at Wolves. But moving on to Liverpool, Newcastle, briefly summing this up, is Firmino an option for you, Robbie?
Well, I was thinking about that. He is one of the strikers that you can look at alongside Isak, Tony and Mitrovic. You really have four there that you have to decide between. And I think really going forward, I might be looking at three strikers again. Kane, Haaland or Jesus filling up two of those. And maybe a Firmino getting in the third, or a Tony, Isak or someone like that maybe. Because I think getting the return he did against Bournemouth was very surprising. But he looks sharp against Newcastle. He looked very good from what I saw, and he almost looked like his old self again.
Yeah, he did. However, I'm not convinced with the fixtures coming up for Liverpool. The Champions League coming up, Nunez is going to come back into the team. I see Everton away as a fixture. Yeah, sure, he might return. He's traditionally been better away from home, but I just don't see Liverpool scoring too many goals at the moment. Everton, Wolves, Chelsea, Brighton, Arsenal, City. I think now is kind of the time to go off. I look at especially Brighton, Arsenal and City as a very tough run with limited goals for Liverpool. So I don't think that in the medium to long term they're worth it. So I would recommend not buying Liverpool players and even selling them. But the return of players like Thiago, Nunez and Jota might mean more goals for Liverpool. We're yet to see that. Defensively disappointing, no clean sheet. They look open yet again, and Isak profited off of this. Now, would you recommend people? He's got a dead leg. If we knew he was going to play this week and we expect him to probably partner Wilson up front, Would you bring him in this week, Robbie? I mean, Palace, West Ham, Bournemouth, Fulham, Brentford, United, Everton. That's a very nice run of fixtures. 7 mil. What do you reckon?
Well, he's definitely been catching my eye recently. I've been looking at him, following him closely. Saw him at the Liverpool game. Was impressed with his goal. Thought he should have had the second. I didn't think he was offside. I think those tight margins shouldn't be offside. That's another debate to be had. And I think he could potentially be a incredible threat. I think Newcastle have played very well this season. I thought against Liverpool, that was nowhere near their strongest side. So I think they put their strongest side out, have Isak up top. He gets more chances, maybe. He could get more goals. And then you look at it and think he needs to be in the team. But that's with so many strikers to compete with. If he doesn't really hit the ground running straight away, it'll be hard to tell.
I think you use the next couple games as a preview to see what's to come and to decide whether you want to invest for a nice run of fixtures up until the World Cup. That's my personal opinion. I think he could be really, really good. Two great finishes, one for the goal, one for the offside goal, and just looks very composed. Like the look of him a lot. I think defensively as well, Newcastle, there will be a time to invest. Nick Pope at 5 million. Would you push the boat out to 5 million to accommodate Pope with the fixtures, Robbie, on a wild card?
For me, I would not. I'd prefer Sanchez or Raya. And if you were to want a Newcastle defender, Trippier, he's been in my team since the start. He's got great returns for me. He did have a slight injury, but he was playing against Liverpool, which was lucky for me. And I think he's on set pieces. Newcastle seem fairly solid defensively, so he could be a real shout. You know, if they do get a free kick in and around the edge of the box, you know Trippier's going to take it, and you know Trippier is most likely going to score it.
Very, very interesting stat Tom brought up last week is that he scored three of his first four Newcastle free kicks before the Liverpool game. So he's clearly got that threat and confidence from free kicks. But that rounds us up for the Game Week 5 review. We got Leicester United playing tonight. We can't review them, but I don't think there's really options from either teams considering their fixtures moving forward. So that means we can move on to the next section of the pod, which is the draft 11. Now, me and Robbie this week, instead of me and Tom, have selected our 11 each week. We decide basically the 11 players that we think will do best in the upcoming game with a few punts in there. So this week, we have got in goal Robert Sanchez. Now, he plays Leicester at home. Why have we selected him, Robbie? Tell the listeners.
Well, I look at it, I think Leicester so far this season have been underwhelming, 20th place in the league. They have not started well. I don't think they will perform well against Brighton. Obviously, I would have preferred to see the United-Leicester before deciding on Leicester's performance. But I think Brighton, they look decent. They had low expected goals against them, against Fulham, I think you mentioned. So I think they'll keep a clean sheet against Leicester, and Sanchez will potentially be forced to make a couple saves, so he'll get a points bonus as well as a clean sheet.
Yeah, I certainly think, I mean, three clean sheets in a row before Fulham away is a very good record, and at home they control games very, very well, so clean sheet seems probable in this game in our opinion. Moving on to the defence, we'll go for the more expected picks. We got Trent at the back. Now, there's a bit of a way up between Trent and Cancelo. I think Cancelo plays, probably does quite well against Villa, but I'm still not convinced by him offensively as much as I am by Trent. And I think Liverpool got a good chance of a clean sheet against Everton. And we'll get onto our predictions for that game later on. But each of us have predicted quite low score lines in that one. So we've gone with Trent. We've gone with Reece James as well, because coming back from illness against the West Ham team at home, Chelsea have been decent at home. Look, a draw at home to Spurs and a win against Leicester. I think they win this one probably 2-0. And I think James comes in with his great attacking potential and has a chance of a haul to punish Sellers from this game week in classic FPL style. They're two of our defenders. Robbie, who are the other two? They're a bit more punty, these other two.
Yeah, a bit more differential. It's Sessegnon from Spurs. Obviously, we mentioned Perisic rotation risk and the likelihood of Perisic potentially being dropped. And then the other one is Nico Williams for Forest playing against Bournemouth. I mean, Bournemouth have not scored except against Villa, but that's Villa. They're not very good. And I think Forest could perform quite well against Bournemouth, so I think they might keep a clean sheet. So Nico Williams slots him well, and Sessegnon. They against Fulham at home, they could be a solid shout to get some points for Sessegnon if he plays.
Absolutely. And I mean, talking about Nico Williams, I mentioned his bonus points that he gathered this week against City. But just generally, offensively, he gets a lot of chances. He takes a lot of shots. He's on set pieces. Just his all-round play, he gets chances. You know, when balls are whipped in from the left, like against West Ham at home, he had a great chance at the back post. All-round, a great pick. I think Forrest probably keep a clean sheet against Bournemouth as well this week. So I think if you've got him in your team, probably on the bench at the moment, I would strongly recommend playing him. But moving on to the midfield, there's a player that Robbie brought up that I wasn't going to choose, but once he brought him up, I thought that's a very nice differential. So Robbie, would you like to tell the listeners what one of our midfielders are?
Is Sinisterra from Leeds. I think with Rodrigo being out and injured, I think he will get game time against Brentford, and I think he seems a bright spark. I think he's creatively very good, and I think against Brentford, I'm not sold on a Brentford defence. I don't think they will keep a clean sheet, and I think Leeds will get a couple goals, and I think Sinisterra could be at the heart of the Leeds attack to get some points for your FPL team.
Yeah, definitely. And a note on, as we're on the topic of Leeds, me and Tom made a wager, a £5 wager, with the £5 going to the charity Mind, between Rodrigo and Gross between Game Week 3 and Game Week 8. Now, since the injury to Rodrigo, it's pretty much guaranteed that Gross wins. So we are going to void that competition because it's just not fair on Tom. But going back to our draft 11, I've put KDB in there. I think he's a standout option for captaincy. I mentioned on last week's pod, he's probably better away from home because he seems to play a bit more advanced and gets chances. So KDB's in there alongside Kulusevski, who got a little break at the end of the West Ham game. I think he'll come up firing at home to Fulham. And then out front, Robbie, who have we got?
Isak from Newcastle. I think he played well against Liverpool. I'm optimistic for him. I think against Palace, Palace could potentially concede a few goals. The only risk is if Anderson can perform incredibly well against him, but I think Isak is a very good striker. And then we also have Haaland up top playing Villa. I think the only potential reason for him not to score is if he doesn't play. But if he plays, even if it's coming on, he will get a goal or assist and get a points haul against Villa. And then also Brennan Johnson from Forest.
Yeah, Johnson, who got a goal away at Everton. And you got subbed off quite early in the City game. Looks set to play the home game against Bournemouth this weekend. So that's our draft 11. Prediction game results from the last two game weeks is yet to be fully finished due to the Leicester United game. However, Tom is leading by about 8 points so far. Now, captaincy, Robbie, for this week. What do you think about the situation? Who is the number one captaincy pick out of everyone this week?
I will go for Haaland. I think Haaland captain, but you also have to pick your vice captain very wisely, because if he plays, he'll get points. But if he doesn't, then you just rely on your vice captain. And I'd put Haaland captain, and then maybe get, if you have KDB, get KDB vice captain. So I'd go for Haaland's captain, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. There was a lot of debate on Twitter about Haaland's expected minutes versus Salah's expected minutes, but it really doesn't take many minutes for this man to get a lot of goals. We saw that against Forest and against Palace. We could see that against Villa, certainly. I think he's a good option if to captain this week. There's a risk involved that he comes off the bench for 20 minutes, but I think there is a strong chance he starts, given that he came off at 68 minutes against Forest. So I wouldn't be surprised if he starts, and if he starts, he'll be a great shout. In my own team, I have KDB instead of Haaland, and I think, well, the reason why I captained KDB is because I thought the best fixture in Game Week 5 was City at home to Forest, and it ended up being the best fixture, City scoring 6 goals. However, De Bruyne not playing for most of the game, missed a great chance at the death as well. This week, I see City away at Villa being the best fixture of the week, so I think you target that. And the way City are playing, I think it's got to be De Bruyne or Haaland getting the captaincy. For me, it'll be De Bruyne in my own team. If I had both De Bruyne and Haaland, which the FPL Apprentice joint team does, we're certainly weighing up that decision. It's a tough one. I think it's probably a bit safer to go for De Bruyne because he's much more likely to get a lot of minutes, and he can play at centre forward for City as well. So I think KDB is a standout option for me. As soon as I saw he was benched against Forest, I thought, yeah, he's the man for Game Week 6 captaincy. But other two options to consider is Kane at home to Fulham and Salah away at Everton. I'm not convinced either of them get that many returns. I think Kane at home to Fulham, we've seen Fulham make things difficult for Arsenal. I think the same thing will happen against Spurs. Kane probably gets a goal, but I can't see him. I don't see the explosive potential that I do with City. And with Salah, I'm just not convinced by really Liverpool or him in his positioning. So I think Everton are quite solid defensively at the moment as well, and they'll be really up for that game. So for me, it's got to be a City player, De Bruyne or Haaland. De Bruyne is probably a safer pick, I would say, regarding minutes. So I'd pick De Bruyne, Haaland second, Kane third, Salah fourth. What do you make of those four picks, Robbie? Who do you choose as your... Well, you've already mentioned you choose Haaland as your favourite, but Kane and Salah, thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. In terms of Salah, that is an interesting pick for me. I would not go for Salah, despite, obviously, I always captain Salah. I am going to change it. I think Captain Haaland, Vice-Captain KDB, if you don't have him, Vice-Captain Kane or someone else. But I would not go for Salah, Captain or Vice-Captain. I'm not going to completely convinced on him. I think a Merseyside derby, the Everton players will be fired up, and derbies are generally quite unpredictable. So I don't know how many Liverpool will score. So I wouldn't go for Salah captain or vice captain for me.
Yeah, agreed with you. Yeah, that rounds off captaincy debate. I don't think there's really any other standout options for captaincy. Sterling is a very outside punt I wouldn't go for. I don't think Chelsea score more than 2 in that game. And I don't really see a clear other option, to be honest. So FPL Apprentice team for Game Week 6, Sanchez in goal, Reece James partnering Robbo, and Trent at the back alongside as well Nico Williams. We've spoken highly about him in this episode. He's going to be starting for us. We've got Perisic playing at the moment. If there's news that he's not going to play, we will keep him on the bench, because I think especially at Leicester at home game, he's looking to play. There's big potential for points there. So Perisic will either be playing or on the bench. We've got De Bruyne as captain with Martinelli and Gross in the middle, Jesus and Haaland up top. Yeah, that's the team, FPL Apprentices, for Game Week 6. Robbie, what are you doing for transfers and captaincy this game week? I guess you're going Haaland.
Yeah, I'm getting Haaland in. And then defensively, I still have Zinchenko, but I will get him out, and I'm looking at other defenders to get in. Perisic is potential, but I'm not convinced he will play this weekend. So I am looking at that, and I'm thinking maybe another Arsenal defender like Saliba to come in. But we'll see. Definitely Haaland will come in, and I will have to look at a Rodrigo replacement in either Trossard, Sinisterra, and if I have a lot of money, Zaha.
Yep. Okay, I'll rate that a lot. We're going to round up this episode with the prediction game as always. I don't think I'm missing anything to this podcast. Tom will berate me afterwards if I do, but I think we are all good to go for prediction game to round off the episode. So currently Tom's leading me in the prediction game results. but hopefully I can turn that around. Robbie, you are the first guest on this season, so you also will be doing your predictions and they'll be saved and recorded for future reference. So first game, Everton versus Liverpool. Tom's gone for a 2-1 Liverpool win. I'm going for a 2-0 Liverpool win. Robbie?
A 1-0 Liverpool win against Everton.
So we've all gone for Liverpool to win. I think it's pretty reasonable, but it's going to be tight in all of our opinions, which is probably why we don't think Salah is the best option, or at least part of the reason why. Next game, Brentford versus Leeds. Robbie, you can start us off with this one.
I've gone for 2-1 Leeds win. I think Brentford, they're a solid side, but I feel they may have got a bit lucky to get a point against Palace. I think Leeds are maybe a bit better than Palace and will get a win 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Everton go away to the newly named G-Tech Community Stadium, Brentford Stadium, and they only drew 1-1 with Everton. I can see Leeds with a bit more attacking potential scoring a couple, but I think Brentford were just 1-2-1. Tom's also gone 2-1 Brentford. Next game is Chelsea-West Ham. I'm going with 2-0 Chelsea. I think the chance of a Reece James returned is fairly high in this one. Tom's gone with 1-1 Chelsea-West Ham. And Robbie, you've gone for?
Chelsea 2-0. Although West Ham are on good form, I think Chelsea, I think they'll get a reaction from that disappointing result against Southampton and win.
Yeah, well, just quickly touching on West Ham's form. I mean, they started the season pretty terribly. 3 defeats in their first 3. The win against Villa, even with quite a poor performance, is big for their confidence. And then getting a draw at home to Spurs is, you can see their season possibly starting to turn around and take better shape. But yeah, we've all gone with Chelsea to score in this one. I think Chelsea come out on top. Newcastle versus Palace. Tom's gone with 2-1 Newcastle. I've gone with 2-0 Newcastle. Robbie, you have gone for
2-2. I think both sides are very evenly matched. I think both sides are pushing for top 10 and top 7 place. I think a draw is suitable.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I just think Newcastle at home don't concede many goals, so Palace will have to do a very good job to get 2. But we shall see. Forest versus Bournemouth. Robbie, start us off.
2-0 Forest. Bournemouth, as far as I'm aware, they still don't have a manager in. I doubt they'll be any good. Lack of organisation, probably. They haven't really made any marquee signings. So I think Forest will win this.
Yeah. 2-0 for me and 2-1 for Tom to Forest. Spurs versus Fulham. I'm going with 1-1 in this one, actually, which is quite a punty differential type prediction. I think Fulham have really impressed me, especially at home this season. 7 points from 9, even in fairly tough games. Away from home, they really pushed Arsenal to the death in the game last weekend. And in game week 2, they drew away at Wolves. So they've had a very solid start to the season. And I think they're full of confidence and they'll make it tough for Spurs, who might rotate a little bit before Champions League. I think this would be tough for Spurs, so 1-1 for me. Robbie, what are you going for?
I went 3-1 Spurs, but I think it will be a close game, as you say. But I still think Spurs have better quality of players, and I'm a fan of Conte as a manager, so I think Spurs get the win here.
Yeah. Spurs 2, Fulham 0 was Tom's prediction. Wolves versus Southampton. We've all gone for the same scoreline here. 1-1. Why have you gone for 1-1, Robbie?
I think Wolves could be looking fairly decent this game. I think they'll get a result. And Southampton, I think they're solid, but they're not really going to have a phenomenal attacking threat of them. So I think they may only get one goal. And I think a draw is, they seem an even matchup of teams this season.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Wolves don't seem to score many, but they generally don't concede too many either. 2 draws in their last 2 games. Villa versus City. Tom will start us off with a 3-0 City prediction. I've gone even more explosive, 4-0 City. Can really see a KDB brace in this one, 16-pointer. Robbie, what are you going for?
It pains me, but 4-0 City.
There you go. The last, well, the penultimate game, Brighton versus Leicester.
2-0 Brighton for me.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. Me and Tom have both gone 2-1 to Brighton. I can't see Leicester getting any more in the draw from this game. To round up, United versus Arsenal. What are you going for, Robbie?
1-1. I think United are starting to kick on, play the way Ten Hag wants them to play, and Arsenal will end their unbeaten run this season.
Interesting. I've gone with 2-1 Arsenal. I think they'll carry on their winning streak in what will be a very tough game, I think. But I think they will edge it. Tom's gone with 1-1. And that wraps us up for the prediction game. And as always, that signifies the end of the podcast. So, Robbie, I'd like to thank you. Very grateful for you coming on at quite short notice as well. So thank you, Robbie.
Been my pleasure.
And Tom will be back next week, I'm sure, and we will discuss especially the Spurs Fulham game. As mentioned earlier, me and Tom are both attending that match, which I'm very excited for. The first time I'll be going to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. But Robbie, it's been a breath of fresh air having you on the podcast. You've come out with some very interesting comments and players to note, and it's been a very enjoyable episode to podcast with you, and I'm sure that we will look to have you on at some point in the future. It's been a real pleasure for me, and you, as you said, pleasure for you. Really great episode. I hope you guys have enjoyed quite a lot to get through today, but as always, very enjoyable episode. Look forward to seeing you guys next week. Podcast should be out about Thursday, I would imagine. Make sure to check out FPL Apprentices on Instagram for our team reveal for the Saturday deadline at 11 o'clock this week. And look out for early team news if you can for likes of Perisic and Robertson. But that's it for today's episode. Season 3, episode 6 is wrapped up. Thank you once again for listening, and I look forward to seeing you all next week. See you later, guys.